Before we get started on Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there.
Attention, bourbon lovers. Are you ready for a taste sensation like no other? Old Raleigh Distillery, recently awarded Best Micro Distillery in the U.S., invites you to experience the art of whiskey blending firsthand. Located just east of Raleigh in downtown Zebulon, the distillery specializes in premium, micro-batch bourbon and limited-release whiskeys. Visit the tasting room Tuesday through Sunday to savor a wide variety of whiskeys, specialty cocktails, wine, and beer. And don't miss a chance to peek behind the curtain with a tour of the blending operation every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 2 p.m. For more information and to plan your visit, visit oldraleighdistillery.com. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Old Raleigh Distillery for exclusive updates and behind-the-scenes content. Old Raleigh Distillery, where every sip tells a story.
Anchorman was so much fun to shoot. So in that one in particular, we improvised every time. So we would shoot every scene three times, and then McKay would say, let's let the squirrel out of the bag, and then we would just have fun.
You're listening to Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I'm your host, Gina Stevens. You may know Raleigh Magazine, but what you may not know is how we get our stories. It's all inside baseball. You'd be surprised what people will tell us. Our MO is telling stories no one else is telling. So this podcast is where you get the inside access to stories you won't read anywhere else. So let's dive into some of Raleigh Magazine's biggest stories.
If you listen to Office Talk regularly, you know it's a rare occasion that I interview someone. Well, it's happening today. Actor, writer, producer, comedian David Koechner is in Raleigh for shows at Goodnight's Comedy Club. And at 8 a.m. on the day of his first show, he is talking with us.
I'm honored.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thanks for coming out.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right in the middle of the heart of it.
Right. I know. I have this view from the hotel, so it's very nice.
Yes. So we are at the AC Hotel looking out at the bell tower. And if you were here last week at this time, this street was packed thousands deep.
Right.
It was crazy.
For the game.
Yeah. Do you like basketball?
I'm not huge into college basketball. I'm more of an NFL guy.
Who's your team?
The Chiefs. I grew up in Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful time to be a Chiefs fan.
It is a wonderful time.
I don't care if people are mad about it. We had 50 years between Super Bowls.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm a Georgia Bulldog. I'm a college girl. And it was about 40 years between winning a national championship.
Oh, and then we got back to back. Yes, that was nice.
And so, you know what? And people said, oh, you're acting too obnoxious about this. I'm like, I've never lived through this.
Right.
I get to act like this.
Let us have it.
Let us have our moment because it passes.
Yeah.
It doesn't last that long.
Like UConn, the first time it's happened in what, 20 years or something?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it happens.
Oh.
Like, why?
Let them have their moment.
Well, I guess, you know, people need to be upset about something. I wonder if that's a recent. Do you feel it's recent?
I do.
Well, it's the goddamn phone.
It
really is. It's divided this country.
It has.
Since the smartphone is like 12, 14 years old.
Well, it gives you a way to have an immediate reaction to everything.
Yes.
And you don't want to go, wow, that's great.
Right.
Nobody wants to say that's great.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be outraged about something.
Yes.
And you own a magazine and you really find out how outraged they get.
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
Tell me.
Well, I mean, we can announce the coolest thing coming to Raleigh.
Right.
New restaurant, new high rise, something cool, something needed.
Yes.
And there's going to be hundreds of people.
Hundreds.
Who are happy, but then there are hundreds of people who'll go, another glass building. We're losing Raleigh's identity. What the hell's happening? And you're like,
I'm sorry, we're not a farm town.
No. We were, but you want
during the Revolutionary War.
But it's but we all travel to places that we find cool stuff to do
yes.
and enjoy.
Yes.
And then we go, why don't we have it? But then when you bring it here, they just want something to bitch about.
Right. And people resist change all the time.
Yes.
It's tough. Yeah.
Yes. So you talk a lot about growing up in Missouri.
Yes, I do.
In your comedy.
No,
a little bit.
Did you see the show?
I haven't seen this show. I looked at some of your stuff on YouTube, and clips and stuff. So you tell funny stories. I grew up in a really small town.
How small?
I mean, like really small.
How small?
Like 100 in my graduating class from high school.
You beat me. I had 68. My town was 2,000 people. It would grow by 4 people every 10 years. Swear to God. We went from 1,999, and then from the 1980 census, it went up to 2014.
So nobody had babies?
Well, everybody leaves.
Yeah.
You talk about resisting it to change. That town, after I'd left, they would not pass a half-cent sales tax to build a new high school. And the town just, because, you know, nobody, so businesses won't come to your town if the town is not willing to invest in itself. So Raleigh is willing to invest in itself.
Absolutely.
Wow, nice job of bringing that back around, Dave.
You did. You can tell he's got his own podcast.
Yeah, right.
But how does that, so what did you do when you left Missouri?
Well, I went to college.
Oh.
To tell the truth, my dad had a business. Now, you've probably seen big trucks, livestock trailers with turkeys go down the road, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
Those are built by my dad's company in Tipton, Missouri. And I worked there since I was 7 years old.
That's so, pretty cool.
Yes. All I wanted to do was
get the heck out.
Yes. My dad assumed that we were going to take over the business. There's six of us. So me and all six of us had worked at what we called the shop at some point. My brother did take over the business. So my dad was a bit, he didn't go to college or to high school actually, because they found out he was dyslexic. And which was a tough thing, you know, back then.
But still, he built a business.
He built a business.
A massive business.
But they wouldn't let him go to high school. I said, no, Cecil doesn't need to go. He doesn't get it. It's like, well, but no one could identify. We didn't find this out until my sisters discovered it years later. When we'd go out to dinner, the family, my dad would sit next to his mom. My mom, and why is my getting emotional? Then they'd whisper about the menu. And I was like, Dad knows what he wants.
Mom's telling him what to order.
Right?
What, yeah.
I thought that's the weirdest thing.
She was helping.
And then when we would go to McDonald's, they'd stand there and he'd just look at the board. He couldn't read. He had severe dyslexia.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
And you've got to navigate life.
Can you imagine navigating life, building a business, having employees? You got to feel like that was an extraordinary.
Oh, I was even more so. Yeah.
Because some of us that read can't do it really well.
Right. He had the mind of an engineer. He really did. So he built a great business and made us all work in it. I mean, if anyone from OSHA ever came, OSHA's, you know, the government entity for safety, I was told you should go to the office. Act like you're hanging out there.
You know, I don't like cucumbers today. And it's because I grew up on a farm.
Uh-huh.
My grandparents farmed. My dad was in the military. But I had to pick cucumbers in the summer.
Oh, my God.
The hottest, the nastiest, the worst smelling, the greenest
hands. That's a ground game, too.
I mean, it's dirty, it's hot.
Yes, you got to dig them out of the ground. You're bending over all day.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like cucumbers to this day.
They give me indigestion. I'm with you.
I just, the sight of them just is flashbacks, PTSD. So you're traveling. Tell me about being on the road and
I'm grateful for it. I didn't start doing stand-up until I had my fifth kid. And because at that point I was like, I better always have a backup.
Right.
And I'm so glad I did. Because, you know, the business changes. They're making fewer movies every year. They're making fewer TV shows every year. So that media is shrinking, but people are digesting as much media in general.
Right.
So just like you're doing this, so I'm doing a podcast now myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just do it yourself if you know, someone else doesn't give it to you. And I've had an amazing career. You know, I've been hired over 210 times.
Well, that's
what
I was reading. I mean, that's a long list. I think I read 120 movies, TV shows, all kinds of things.
Well, 215 altogether. So between movies, TV shows, animated shows, voiceovers, all that stuff that gets listed. Yeah.
You're probably best known, I think, for two or three things.
Two, yes.
Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
I think.
Okay, that's
fine. I'm old, so well, I can say that,
we both are.
Okay.
But it's, go ahead.
I was saying, you know, that year that you did at Saturday Night Live was, I think that kind of put you on the map and made you, people knew who you were.
I've never stopped working after that.
Right. Yeah. And then obviously The Office.
Yes. So really it's The Office and Anchorman.
But I was thinking, you know, in terms of sort of launching and making your face recognizable before you did movies and TV.
Right.
Which role do you think you've played? Office, Goldbergs, all kinds of things that you feel like most aligns with your personality?
Oh.
I can't wait to hear this answer.
I hope none of them. Because, you know, I'm not at all like Todd Packer.
Oh, I know.
You know, or Champ Kind. They're both, at their core, just completely devoid of their own understanding of empathy
or humility. No moral character.
Yeah, they're pretty messed up guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I'd say closer to Bill Lewis because, you know, Bill's very emotional.
Yes.
And I love those types of roles. There was a great show that didn't get a chance because of COVID called Bless This Mess. And it was too bad because it was one of the best shows I've worked on.
Cool.
It only went a season and a half. We got killed at COVID. Because we were on location show, not a studio show, so it cost a little bit more money.
Yeah.
And they just stopped, which is too bad. Because I thought, well, this show's going for 10 years, and it's just, you know, I'll ride this one out to the sunset. But so I guess, yeah, probably Bill Lewis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you think when you were looking at The Office that that would be as hugely successful?
No, I thought there's no way this can work because I was a huge fan of the British Office. In fact, I auditioned for Michael Scott, but they used the same, they call them sides, the same pages from the British Office, from that pilot, to read for the audition. And I'd seen that done so perfectly by Ricky Gervais. Right. I'm like, I don't understand how you would do this other than the way he did it, you know? So I didn't have a great audition. Now, Steve, of course, is brilliant. Had never seen The Office, is probably a good advantage. But he's, you know, Steve's just another level. Yeah, so. And, you know, when you look back at things and how could it be anybody else, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you think about that.
When you think, you get so used to it and those are the characters played so perfectly.
In fact, Steve recommended me for Todd Packer. They had hired somebody and it wasn't working after a couple of days. And I was actually in Canada shooting Snakes on a Plane. When I came back, they were going to have auditions. They moved on from that episode. And they were going to have auditions for Todd Packer. And Steve, and I'd worked with Greg Daniels before, who's the creator of the thing. And Steve says, why not Koechner? And so, yeah. So to me, like, I'm just going to go play with Steve in my mind, right? And plus the characters, to me, it's just freedom.
Oh, that's what it looked like. Look, you guys were just having a good time. Oh, it probably wasn't scripted, a lot of it.
Well, that's the credit to the show. It's all scripted because it has to be because you've got 23 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
You've got, 10 or 12 writers that have worked 40 hours on a script. They're not just going to go, why don't you guys go? It's going to be a 12-hour day. No, I think toward the end, some of the characters improvise quite a bit. If they have time. Depends what the time crunch is. Or you might pitch a joke to a writer.
Right.
But by and large, they don't want you just to go off script because, you know.
But it felt that way. If you're at home, that's, and you it feels real. It feels authentic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you miss a regular show like
that? Yeah. You know, there's always more. There's going to be another one. It's just a matter of time. I've never had this much space between jobs, I'll tell you that. And that's why I'm doing a ton of stand-up right now. I'm doing like 39 weeks this year.
Stand-up is fascinating to me. I'm told by my kids and other people that I'm not funny.
Ah!
And I think I'm funny. But I was going to take Good Nights Offers a class, like Comedy 101 or 201,
right,
where you have to come with your own jokes.
Right.
And I said, all of you that think I'm not funny,
right,
I got all your stuff in
I'm
ready.
There you go.
Because you have to invite them, you have to invite your people in for a 10-minute. That's how you graduate from the class.
Right.
I haven't gotten my nerve up to do it yet, but I want to. But I also think it just helps with timing. I do a lot of public speaking, and so it's like it would be, you know.
Yes, anything like that is going to be helpful.
Tell me about your, because you're here in town for shows for 3 nights. If people have seen you on TV but not seen your stand-up and haven't looked at YouTube, tell us about the show. What kinds of things do you like? I mean, what do you think is funny?
Well, a human frailty, right?
Absolutely.
Or just it's you, or something very specific that we all have gone through that that we're suffering. So, you know, you try to make something lighter with the suffering. I'll give you an example that you probably know. Your kids had the recorder in fifth grade, right?
Yes.
There you go. I mean, I've had that bit in my show for, I don't know how long, a very long time, but it always works. Because everyone has, you know, the memory I have was, a lot of the stuff is just real that happens. And so I just make it a story and you add jokes to it. But, you know, it's 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning and they come in with their recorder. Do you want to hear Hot Cross Buns on the recorder? And of course the answer is no. No one wants to hear that, right?
Not ever.
Not ever. But the yes.
We have to.
Yes. So.
And we have to make them feel like we want to hear it. And then we have to hear it over and over and over again. Because we had four children. You have to.
You know, kids' birthday parties where the adults have an agenda, you know, because they want to get out of there. I was told one of my daughters had their birthday party. Then the princess is an hour late, shows up with back tattoos. You're like, you got to explain to your daughter why.
Cinderella.
And the princess has brought along a King Triton. Like, well, who's this? This, what's that?
Yeah.
You know, like adults decide how your party's going to go. A woman told me 20 minutes in, it's time to cut the cake. I'm like, what are you talking? This is a 3-hour dance, lady.
Yeah.
The cake gets cut at the end.
I will say by the last child I had, I did serve wine to the parents at my children's birthday parties.
That's,
I mean, why, you know, it's like,
that's
come
very
on.
Typical.
It's, yeah. You know, we've already suffered through several children having the same party. So let's that.
Yeah. You see that. You see that at parties. I think there'll probably be a change over time with that. But, or they just need to be shorter.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, you got one. When you're in fourth grade, that was the way my family worked. You get one party when you get to invite the whole class.
Right.
Not every year.
Not every year.
And then why do we have to produce this show of a party for them?
You're always trying to do better than the kids' party you went to last week or the two that are in the same day.
I know.
Yeah, it's
but
exhausting.
For what?
And God, I will say this. The first child, you do it all for.
Oh, yeah.
The second one, a little less. The third one, God help my fourth one. I mean, you know, it is no joke, and it's depicted on TV shows all the time. We were cleaning out the attic and found baby books, and his is empty. His name's not even on it. I love him just as much, more than the rest of them, but I had three other kids.
A local icon since 1949 and where Raleigh comes to celebrate, savor, and enjoy. Village District is celebrating 75 years of tradition and taste. You can join the celebration for their 75th anniversary on Saturday, April 20th from 3 to 8 p.m. on Woodburn Road. Enjoy live music, pop-ups, a kid-friendly area, and the launch of their Village 75 beer, exclusively brewed by Standard Beer and Food. For more event details and other Village District happenings, you can follow Village District on Instagram at @ShopVillageDistrict, visit their website at shopvillagedistrict.com, or sign up to receive texts by texting the word VILLAGE to 919-701-0202. Time to add the mix into the mix of your go-to hotspots. With signature craft cocktails and neat pours, 12 rotating craft beers, and 8 rotating fine wines, plus cider and bubbles, the mix has the perfect pour for everyone. Take flight with beer, wine, whiskey, mezcal, and tequila. Or not in the spirit, craft cannabis gummies and high seltzers also invite. Sprawl out on the patio, post up on the couch with your laptop on a weekday, catch the big game on multiple TVs, or cozy up in the wine library for an upscale paired tasting. Weekly events keep the good times coming, from tastings to live music and more. For the full lineup of events and offerings, visit bottlemix.com. Yes, with two X's, so that's bottlemixx.com.
But there's something about a baby book that's better than just the pictures on the phone, you
Absolutely.
Know? Absolutely. Because that means someone put in time. You know, I think my ex-wife...
Made me feel guilty.
My ex-wife did the first one because there was a gal that was doing that business. There was a business... Yeah, remember that? I forget what it was called. Mm-hmm. And so they would get together and, you know, it's a great thing to do. Oh. It's a smart idea because then you're doing it together so it doesn't feel like a chore as
right.
much. And you can buy all those products. It's like...
I tell new parents now, I have a sales rep in my office who's had a six-month-old, and I'm like, look, take X number of pictures a month, print them out right then, stick them in a book.
Yep.
I don't care how many kids you have. Don't wait and think you'll do it at the end of the first year, the first month, or the first 6 months. You'll never do it.
I know. One thing I wanted to do years ago, and I never did it, was take their picture when you had the phone every day for a year.
And
then just
watch.
Print, yep.
Yeah, I have a wall in my house. I keep thinking about putting my house up for sale, but I have a wall where we've done the sort of marks. I'm like, that board's going with me if I
know.
Leave. Because that's,
yep.
you can see how much they grew and how fast.
Yep.
And when the boys finally passed the girls.
Uh-huh.
Which was crazy.
And when my boys passed me. I've got those pictures.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They can't wait. They can't wait to outgrow their parents.
Oh, I have my 15-year-old used to stand beside me from 10 on. I'm almost there.
Yep.
Tell me about your favorite role you played, your least favorite role.
Oh, boy. Anchorman was so much fun to shoot. Nothing tops that.
Yeah.
Because I've known Adam McKay since 1990, and I'd known Steve since 1990. So here we are, you know, years later, and Will I had met on Saturday Night Live, so he was a friend too. So you're getting to hang out with your buddies all day. Now that movie was improvised constantly because Adam and I and Steve and Will all came from an improv background. So we know we have guys that are people that can do it.
Right.
Right? So that was a different experience. Plus McKay knows how to use that. He can guide the improvisation to what he needs. Because he's got one of the brightest minds I've ever met is Adam McKay. He's just beyond, I used to say his mind has its own gravitational pull. He's just such a remarkable guy, fascinating. So in that one in particular, we improvised every time. So we would shoot every scene three times, and then McKay would say, let's let the squirrel out of the bag, and then we would just have fun.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet the squirrel out of the bag is what actually made it in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Least favorite.
That's tough. Do I say it out loud?
I think you do. You get to your point. It's like some things I love, some things I don't. It's the authenticity of who you are.
All right. Well, remember, I have five kids. So when I was offered Piranha 3 Double D, I said yes. Who wants to be in Piranha 3 Double D?
Somebody has five kids.
They wanted me to do the scene where the piranha are eating everybody in a pool, and then this woman jumps on my shoulders, but front. Right? And I said, no, we're not doing that.
No.
And so they weren't happy. I'm like, well, come on, man. That's just too much.
Yeah. It's a little over the top.
So I was supposed to, you know, she's like, got her.
Yeah.
Yes. Self
for double D's, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, her legs.
Oh.
No, she would be sitting. She'd be sitting on my shoulders.
Yeah.
The other way. And I said, no, that's too much. I've got kids,
yeah,
you know.
That's too much.
They probably have never seen this movie, but so then what they did was they had my character's head cut off. And then it bounces between a woman's double D's. So that in the end they get me, right? The producers. It was a difficult shoot.
We do things at different points in our life that we wouldn't do today.
I got paid a lot of money, and you know, it was like, okay. And you know, whatever. There's several I could go through, but that's...
Who's the one person, if somebody said you could pick one person to do a show or movie with, just one, who would be that one person that you'd like to... Just one.
Just one.
Because I always say this to my editor, and when she goes, I have two. I'm like, Just one.
Well, I'll say Lennon Parham because she was my wife in Bless This Mess. And she and I were just great dance partners, man. It was just glass. Like, it was effortless.
Yeah.
It was effortless.
Okay, so I don't know the show. So did it make air at all?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We did, I think, 30 maybe episodes. I can't. There's a season and a half.
So let's watch it. Let's at least check it out.
Well, yeah, but she's so good. Yeah. She's so good. And she and I together, the writing was great. So the best writing I've been able to, a part of. And so that makes it fun. Because when it's well written, it's easy to act. And she and I were this couple that, didn't quite understand ourselves or each other. And we're all in a small town. And so you're trying to find out who you are through everybody you're, interacting with. And then they'd have my character, who, was quite stubborn. And then he'd have his moments where he just has real breakdowns, mm-hmm. right? When he's always trying to put on this strong front. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah. So she and I were great together.
Well, obviously, as I understand it, their ticket's still for sale, so people can...
Oh, it's not sold out? Then I'm not doing it.
We're going to sell it out.
Yeah. No, I have no idea.
I'm saying there's tickets still available, so people can listen to this and then go, I want to see this
guy. There you go.
So that's the point.
Yeah.
And you are taping, you have a podcast yourself.
Just started a podcast, so it's called Get Me the Mayor. Paige was my assistant years ago, and now she's my production partner. So we came up with this idea of Get Me the Mayor. So every time we come to a town, we try to interview the mayor. And you were very helpful. Paige reached out to you.
Yeah.
And you gave her a bunch of great people to... There are so many, she said, that it was hard to kind of whittle down because we only have so much time.
Yeah.
So we've done... How many hours do we have? And just two podcasts. Now, I call it a podcast, but it's something else. Do we have 20 hours?
Oh, wow.
I mean, look, you need an hour for a podcast.
Yes.
So what we're doing is we're interviewing a lot of people, and then she and I are going to do the wraparounds later. So ultimately it'll become whatever it is.
Yeah.
I always say that, a documentarian says that when you're doing a documentary, it tells you what it is.
Right.
You don't tell, so we're doing that.
I was with the mayor yesterday. We had an event, magazine did, and she was there. We're honoring people in their 50s who are making impact on our city.
Okay.
So there were some of the really people who are doing some cool things, and she was there to speak. And you're gonna like her. She's got an interesting sense of humor. She's smart, sharp.
Yeah. I mean, she's so invested in the city.
She is.
And everything, like the tips of all of her spears seem to be about outreach and improving people wherever they are.
It really
is. Yeah, like it's all inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to love Maggie at a place at the table, and I think you're eating some.
That's remarkable what they do.
It is.
That's remarkable.
And what's even more remarkable is, Maggie's in her 20s. This was an idea that she formed in college and has made it happen. Has made it happen, and she is bigger than life.
Wow.
I mean, she's just, she walks in a room, and she's just this warm personality that everybody loves. And you get to eat some barbecue at Clyde's, from what I understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is one of the oldest?
It is.
In town?
I mean, it is the oldest
barbecue. I'm from Kansas. I'm from Missouri.
It's going to be a different style barbecue.
I know. Everybody talks, it's so funny how everybody says, if you go to Kansas City, they always say, what's your favorite barbecue? Now, I grew up in, central Missouri, so I didn't grow up eating Kansas City barbecue.
Right.
So my sisters all live there. And my brother-in-law, Tim, is a griller. And he goes to all these competitions. And it's the best barbecue I've eaten.
Well, in North Carolina, it's either east or west.
Okay.
And so east is more vinegar-based,
right.
A little drier. West is more tomato-y, saucy.
Right.
So what you have today will be more Eastern North Carolina barbecue. So
right, okay.
It'll be interesting to see if you like it.
I'll pretend.
Love Cooper's. I order from there all the time. So it's a great spot that just literally started taking credit cards.
Wow.
Like a year ago. Forever, it was a cash-only restaurant. And they finally, they said hell froze over because that sign used to say, we'll take credit cards and cards when hell freezes over. But
well, somebody liked to hide the money.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not accusing any one person.
I mean, if
any business is all cash.
Wouldn't we all like to get paid in cash for everything?
Right. I made $10 today.
That would be all I would ever make. Well, so the podcast isn't out yet.
It's going to be a long-term process. The thing is, we're just figuring it out. You know, it's different than anything I've seen. I just didn't want to sit down and talk to another celebrity because what are you going to ask?
So that's what I said in the intro. So when we launched this, we got a call from every executive director, every museum in town. I want to get my director on your, my president, or my chairman. And I'm like, we don't do interviews.
Oh.
And that way we get around it. So what we do is we talk about behind the scenes, how we get our stories, what we know, the gossip mill, what's happening in Raleigh. And then once in a while, when somebody of interest comes into town, we get a chance to interview them.
Oh, that's cool.
So that way it gets me off the hook from having to interview.
There you go. People in town.
Yeah, because when you have advertisers, they're like, wait a minute, I advertise. Why can't I get on your podcast? Nope.
Right. But I think that's great. So this is your magazine?
It is.
And I like that you say, what's happening in town?
It is.
Look at this, best bars.
Yeah.
This is stuff you want.
I mean, it is. I mean, I lived in some great cities.
Who will lead our city? Wow.
Yes.
That's
you're going to be with the mayor today.
I know, but that's
an interesting
one. You can find
out whether she's running again or not.
Oh, she doesn't say? How many times has she? I'm so sorry, Cece. I keep.
She's been mayor twice. Uh-huh. She's been on city council before, but she's at a point where.
They don't have term limits?
They have 2-year terms, but you don't have, there's not a limit on how many times you can run and how many times you can serve.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only a 2-year term.
It's awful.
Oh, that's so terrible.
And the whole council and the mayor up every 2 years, they're re-voted in. Oh. So you spend the first year doing something, the second year spend campaigning.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Well, that's it. Why do they should change that? Because you're only.
And it's also considered a part-time job. I think she makes $37,000
in Raleigh?
Yep. You'll have fun talking about that with her. It is not a part-time job.
Well, they still think they're a farm town. That's crazy.
It's the way the city's set up and it needs to change.
Yeah.
It's actually potentially going to be on the ballot in the fall whether to make them 4-year terms.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah, it is. That's an easy one.
There's some things that you feel like Raleigh is really a big city. I mean,
how big is it?
500,000.
But Raleigh-Durham is 1 million plus.
Wake County is 1 million. Raleigh and Durham, we were hoping during the basketball tournament especially that people realize that Raleigh and Durham are in two different places and that the only thing that connects them is the airport, which is called Raleigh-Durham.
Why
do we care? Because we are absolutely two different places. It's just very different.
Everybody just thinks it's Raleigh-Durham.
Right.
Though.
But if you've got...
Do the towns have different personalities?
Completely.
Okay.
Completely. I mean, I love Durham. I think it's great. It's a fun town. It's a creative sort of Raleigh.
And they don't have a comedy club.
They don't.
Not that I know of.
No.
I've never been invited.
They don't have one. But you're going to Good Nights. And Good Nights, I was a little heartbroken when they left the old location, which you performed in.
Right.
But the new location has the best of all of that. It gives you more of a big city comedy club feel. Uh-huh. And they took a little bit of the history and atmosphere and parlayed it into that space. You'll have a much better green room experience. And visitors have a much better bathroom experience.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that was an
old building.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember the last time we were in town, probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we took an Uber to Charlie Goodnight's, and we got out. And they're like, wait a minute, where's the club? They took us to the old club. So we walked into this other restaurant, which was a good one. I forget what it was. But they said, no, it's now that cafeteria where they were temporarily.
And that was temporarily. But now this is underground. It feels very much like.
Oh, is it really?
It is. So the history of the Village District, which is where it's located, is that there was all this underground nightlife. I mean, some of the biggest artists in the country had played there. It closed in the early, mid-80s, this underground sort of after late night entertainment scene. And Good Nights, they reopened it.
Okay.
And so it's a cool space.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So, well, I appreciate you doing this.
Well, of course. Thank you.
We're going to get tickets. We're going to go to the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I have to be good.
Thank you.
This has been Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I hope after hanging out with us, you feel more like a Raleigh insider. You can find copies of our magazine around town or subscribe for $10 for 10 issues. We'd love it if you gave this podcast a rating and review and share it with your friends. This podcast was edited and produced by Earfluence. I'm Gina Stevens. We'll see you again soon. Want more of Raleigh Magazine in between issues? Visit RaleighMag.com and subscribe to our newsletters. They come out Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. 5-minute read keeps you up to date. And especially on Friday, Dish on This, where to eat, where to drink, what to do this weekend. Subscribe for free at RaleighMag.com.